cold, faraway world. A battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
The Sceptre here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, did you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP, Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 151, recorded May 8th, 2015. I am your host, Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Megamus.
Hello.
We got Jim Black with us.
Hello.
Headmaster Dawn.
Hey, everybody.
And Proto Man.
Yo, yo.
Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about things that are random in the in current events, just random acts of randomness. There's just a whole lot of stuff popping up, a lot of third party stuff, a lot of official things. I know there's a really interesting thing with the Takara Ultra Magnus that popped up today. I think we'll talk a little bit about that. I know Headmaster Don's got a third-party roundup for us, and I think I want to kick off adding in my two cents on a topic from episode number 150, where Megamus and everybody they talked about hoarding and when is enough enough, and I really wanted to be in on that discussion myself, but I was out of town. And couldn't get back in time, but I myself have personally went through this as well multiple times. Back in the early 2000s, around 2005-ish or so, I had about 2,500 figures. My first wife and I, we lived in a small efficiency apartment, and it was wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling Transformers everywhere. I had everything from Fox Kids, Beast Wars, all the way up through the first couple waves of the universe, loose and sealed. I had nearly every Generation 1 figure released from the U.S. And I was loving Transformers, but I was buying everything that said Transformers on the package. And it just got to the point where I thought it was enough. You know, I mean, whenever you have pizza delivery guys coming over and you open your door to pay for the pizza and their eyes get big as saucers and they look into your apartment and they say these exact words: "It looks like Toys R Us exploded in there." It wasn't necessarily an embarrassment. I was kind of proud of it, but at the same time, I'm like, I really wish I could display these things properly. And so I decided to sell off, and then I've had two massive sell-offs ever since. And I can totally relate to, I can't remember who it was last episode that said that focusing is better whenever you think about what you like the most in the fandom and you concentrate on that. And that's what I did. And you see my collection behind me. I've probably got maybe 300 figures max, and I'm happy with that. And I still maintain my fandom. I still maintain a level of happiness and closeness with my collection. It's displayed nicely, and you know, I don't feel the need to go out and purchase everything that has Transformers on it. I really like the sentiment that the guys mentioned in that episode about that, and I totally related. And I just wanted to add my story onto it and everything. Any of you guys have any add-on thoughts to that topic?
Oh yeah, man, did I think I hit the wall at the time I was living with my parents, we had about, it's like a duplex, and I always had a very large collection, but I was a completist, and it was easy to be a completist during G2, going into Beast Wars, Beast Machines, RID. I think I started to hit the wall around Energon, and then it started to become a problem when the Bay movies came out. Mm. Now, keep in mind, being a completist with those Bay movies, Fast Action Battlers, Legends, all those different scales, I picked up everything. But also, I was the kind of person that back in the Unicron trilogy and Beast Wars, any merchandise that even existed of Transformers, especially during Beast Wars up to Unicron trilogy, was pretty rare. You know, you had a puzzle once in a while, maybe a wrapping paper or a sticker or something. So when that stuff did come along during those times, I would pick it up just because I was so hardcore a Transformer fan. I wanted to have it all. But during the Bay movie, my mind just could not process everything that was coming at me. I mean, you would go to the, you know, to like a Cards Carlton's Hallmark or whatever, and there was tons of Transformer stuff, wrapping paper, all kinds of things. You go to Walmart, you go to the, like the section that would be napkins and everything, and there's Bumblebee napkins and centerpieces and pin the tail on the Bumblebee. And it was just so much. And the sad thing is, at first, I tried to pick up all that stuff. And it's so sad because – and then I remember hitting the wall, and everyone makes this joke, but it's like we were in the fishing section of Walmart, and there was a fishing line of Michael Bay, of the Michael Bay movies, like literally a fishing pole and everything. And there I'm holding it. I'm like, nah, this is too much. And then my girlfriend was like, but didn't Hot Rod have a fishing pole? And I threw it in the frickin', you know – I threw it in the carriage, and I'm like, all right, this last one, you know?
Well, yeah, I know I can relate to that in a way because it's kind of current. There's supposed to be some Transformers duct tape that's yes. out there.
Oh, somewhere. Yeah.
And I have looked high and low for that. I don't know why I want it. I don't know what I need it for. I just have to have it. I don't. It's Transformers duct tape. Well, why the hell do I want Transformers duct tape? But
you know what? Sometimes something just speaks to you.
Yeah.
But so and when I hit that wall, especially like it was Revenge of the Fallen, was when I was like, oh my God, this is becoming too much. And again, still living with my parents, and it got to the point that it couldn't be in my room anymore. Now it was spilling out into the hallway. And then we had an extra room that we just kind of had because we had a house that had like 9 rooms, and we just had this one extra room that wasn't really anything. And it started with one box of Transformers that hasn't been opened yet, then 2 boxes, then 5 boxes. Luckily, before Dark of the Moon rolled around, I was already planning my way out of this house. I was going to buy my own place. So I bought a nice big house, but I literally bought a house with the precognitive notion of my Transformer collection. And it sounds crazy, but literally I would go to open houses, go straight to the basement. If it wasn't nice, I don't even care what the kitchen looks like, you know? And it sounds crazy, but I would do that. And because I knew that as a completist, as someone who really doesn't dial it back, you have to kind of really think about the future, because the sad truth is this line ain't ending. This isn't something where there is an end, you know, where you could kind of like, you could kind of predict how much space stuff is going to take. We got an RID, we got a Masterpiece line, we got a Classics line that keeps going, BotCon exclusives. That stuff just rolls out year after year after year, taking more space. God forbid you collect the comic books. Those long boxes, single issues, take a lot of space too. Or if you get trade paperbacks, there you go, right there. You know, it's just all of being a part of this fandom is a big space taker. It like someone like Weird Wolf over here, he dialed it back, and it was for the best, especially in his scenario, because imagine if someone was enjoying the fiction to pick up all the comics. Yeah, DVDs don't take much space. You know, you could have like an entire 56 episodes of something in the space that's probably the size of 2 thick trade paperbacks. But the sad truth is comic books take a lot of space. So sometimes maybe you got to download them, you know, to just to freaking, you know, not be drowning in variant covers of More Than Meets the Eye number 7. It's just, it gets a little crazy. And I speak from personal experience where I look at 7 long boxes of Transformer comics ranging from the beginning of Marvel through the Dreamwave era, which had a million cover variants. All IDW is taking like 4 long boxes now at this point with all the different miniseries it had. All the toy collecting, it's an entire floor of my house, the toy collecting. Granted, it looks nice, but it took like 4 years of constructing and building and lighting and everything to make it look sane. But Lord knows, if it wasn't the way it is right now, it would just be a cluster, you know, pardon my French, a clusterfuck of disaster that you have to really control yourself. You really do. Especially, you have to enter this hobby and say, what are my goals? Do I have a favorite character? Should I focus on that favorite character? You know, not all people need to have it all. And I'll tell you something, as someone who almost does have it all, not all things are worth having. I'm telling you, there's a lot of Bay toys you could live without. And you will never, they don't even have charm. They're just really bad toys. You know, there's a lot of guys that I know within the TFCon staff that they're literally dialing it back just to Masterpiece. They're just saying, you know what, even Classics is kind of passe. They're just focusing on Masterpiece and this and that of Vintage that kind of has a nostalgic connection. Because as it stands right now, we have Creo, we have RID, we have Classics with the Combiner War stuff that's rolling out like crazy. Then you have all the weird oddball stuff left and right. You know, God forbid you were collecting Hex Bugs or all the weird stuff that was just related to the brand right now. If you were a crazy, like me, I used to be that crazy completist. But the Bay movies just made me go, all right, it's time to stop. It's time to stop because I'm going to run out of space in this 12 and a half house. I'm going to run out of space just on Transformers. And I collect other stuff too, but Transformers eats up space like there's no tomorrow. There is no toy line that eats up space. Like, I mean, you have to literally bunch them all together in the most unappealing displays sometimes in order to just make the best of it. And I've even had this discussion with other toy collectors, and I always tell them Transformer collections are probably the ugliest collections when they're on display, because there's so many of them and it's so hard to have them all together and make them look nice. You can't have like a Detolf with like one Optimus Prime. You know, it's like the Hot Toys collectors. They have that luxury.
Right over here.
Yeah, exactly.
The at the foot of my Metroplex is like all these legends, and they're just like crammed down there.
Well, that's just it's one of those things that I see so many other different collectors of different walks of life, whether it be video game memorabilia or Marvel and stuff, and they seem to have a little bit of a control because, I don't know, maybe because they're also not set in the mind that they'll get every Marvel toy, or same thing with video game memorabilia, so it doesn't look as crazy. But us Transformer fans, I mean, there's so much. Literally, there's so much. It's crazy when you think about how much there is. We have more than any Ninja Turtle toys, more than any He-Man toys, more than any – sometimes it's crazy to think that we have more than even G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe might have the huge vehicles, but we still got probably the more individual per figure compared to them. There's just no toy line that has that much individual product out there. It's crazy. Like even Star Wars, when you think about it, I mean, the Star Wars fans, they're probably, if you're a completist of Star Wars, well, God help you. God help you if you are. I mean, that's, oh, geez, I can't even imagine that. But I'm pretty sure every Star Wars fan, instead, they kind of tackle it at a different area. Oh, I'll be an army builder, or I'll focus on a very specific kind of line or scale. I can't imagine anyone being an all-out completist. We're Transformers because we're just, you know, there's no one that's just a legend scale collector. There's no one that's just a deluxe scale collector. It's all this big mishmash of different things and different scales and Masterpiece and Classics. And then, oh, maybe I'll get this Creo. And, oh, this third party thing is interesting. No collector of any hobby of toys has had to go through what we do and decisions we have had to make. And it's just, it's monumental to the point that you look at people's collections and sometimes they do border on hoarding. Lucky for me, I have a huge house that, you know, you kind of spread the butter out so it doesn't look as bad. But imagine if you're someone that lives in a 3.5 and you have a collection of 2,600 figures. That's when it gets crazy.
Well, think about 2,500 figures in an efficiency apartment.
That's well, there you go.
Has a kitchenette, a bathroom, a bedroom, and a small living room. And your that's what I have.
Your frying eggs with Bacon exclusives above yeah. this. You know, like well, that's.
Okay. Literally, well, I had,
I'm going to go in and shut you both down just because I can. Collecting since 84 in a two-bedroom apartment, I have you beat. Both. Oh. Boom.
I hope so. I want someone. I would want someone to beat me.
Away. Hold on. The same apartment?
Hmm?
The same apartment for 31 years?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but I'm saying, saying I've been collecting since 84, and I'm now living in a two-bedroom apartment with Massey.
I see.
So I've
now, wait a minute. Both. No, wait a minute. Massey does take up a lot of room.
Okay, I was afraid maybe you know, we couldn't find the door for the
That's bathroom. At least 2 liter classes.
I would say more than that.
Trying to escape.
But, so yeah, so I mean, trust me, that's why if you go back and when you if you haven't seen our show that we're discussing now, I have some
well, you should
feelings about where I'm at in my life with my collections and stuff. And again, like everyone else, you know, I don't just collect Transformers. I have a huge selection of GoBots. I have a lot of Gundams. I have a huge Digimon collection. You know,
whenever I made my decision. My first initial decision back in early to mid 2006 is whenever I had my big sell-off, my very first big sell-off.
And wise time.
I sold off all but about 150 figures.
Talk about a cleanse right before the storm.
Mm. And whenever I looked around at my collection, it wasn't. I want to clarify, I didn't look around and see hate or disdain or shame. I didn't feel any of that. I just felt I needed to breathe. I felt like the hobby was taking me over. Not necessarily that Transformers was all I cared about. I cared about a lot more. I had a wife and everything and I had a good job my free time was dedicated to going out and collecting Transformers. And whenever you have these big Rubbermaid totes of sealed figures that you have never touched except for the day you bought them and put them in the tote, and you got the exact same figure opened and display on a shelf, and you're sitting there and it makes you, and you start realizing, it's like, damn, instead of paying $10 for that figure, I paid $20. Why do I need that?
And the crazy thing is too, like that's why Energon, when the problem first started happening, was because you know you have a problem when you start buying more toys and not opening them. I finally got around to opening those Energon toys in 2009. That's a long time to sit on a mint on card figure. Because that's when like they started doing the combiners in Energon. It started getting to the point you were buying more than you had the free time to open. And then you kind of were buying and putting it away and putting it in storage and everything. And then one day you're going to open it. And it got to the point that you're not even enjoying what you're spending money on, which is crazy when you think about it. You know, like to literally go to a store, drop an entire paycheck on an entire wave of something, you know, like $700 or whatever on a wave of everything, to just bring it home from Toys R Us or Walmart and put it in a tote in the garage to never open. Or maybe that one figure that's interesting. Maybe I'll open him and mess with him before I put him loosely back in the box. Because, you know, I got to protect him, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and I got to keep the box because it might be worth money one day. You know, or I might had
three Cryotechs. Three.
Well,
why? I mean,
he's an awesome figure.
And the sad thing is about Cryotech when you think about it. How much was he when he was in retail?
$29.95, I think.
You know, so with inflation, you're probably maybe making them, like if you sold them today, you probably would get 50. So you're, maybe you're making 10 bucks after all these years, you know, like.
Well, you know, I think that's what led to my decision is one day I was literally sitting on my couch and I looked over at this mountain of totes full of figures. And then I looked at my TV entertainment stand, and this is back in the day before flat screens were really popular, and I had the 27 inch tube TV,
and you could put figures on it.
I could put figures on it, and then instead of having books and everything, I had one shelf that had all my video games on it, and then I had two shelves underneath that, one that had my N64, one that had my PlayStation 2, one that had my GameCube. And then the rest of it was filled up with TFC book style reissues. I had the Hasbro book style reissues. Across the top of the entertainment center, I had every Generation 1 combiner that was released in the United States, with the exception of Monstructor. And that's because at that time I didn't want to pay $300 for such a tiny ass figure.
Another issue, too, that exists exclusively in our hobby is what I call double up of space, which is we buy Japanese product. And a lot of times, you know, you could buy a carded, you know, Combiner War toy, take it out of the packaging and toss the packaging and not feel bad about it. But imagine someone who bought all of that Takara reissue books box stuff. They open it all up. They put it all on display, but they don't throw out those boxes. Those nice little boxes. So not only are the figures taking space, but now the figures boxes, which you're not going to flatten, you're not going to ruin, you're going to put those in boxes, and those are going to double up on space too. And that's where
I have a closet right now full of masterpiece boxes.
Exactly. Oh, man. See, there you go. Imagine a humongous box that's literally half the size of a mini fridge that is literally empty. And you're keeping it, but you don't want to flatten it because it's got a bubble in there, which is the whole conflict. You know, like same thing. It's like, oh, you can't flatten a G1 box. You got to keep the foam. You got to keep this. And so you have this whole conflict where you have a figure taking space on the shelf, wall space. And then on top of that, the packaging itself taking even more space in another area. And that's where you hit that second wall. Do you keep packaging? Do you get rid of packaging? Okay, I'm going to only keep Japanese packaging. Oh, Lord, Japanese packaging takes a lot of damn space for that small country. You know, like you own a Fortress Maximus or a Brave Maximus. The box is as big as the figure. Or same thing with Metroplex. So you have something that already takes the space of a radiator, and then right next to it, you're having something that's doing absolutely nothing, taking the space of a radiator and then some. There's so many different, like, you know, you have to figure out ways to store it. Oh, maybe you have a crawl space or something, and maybe hopefully there's not moisture there. There's so many things that even I have had to contemplate when it came in tossing card backs. There's no value in that. Forget about it. You don't need to keep instructions. You don't need to keep this. I mean, only vintage, maybe only Japanese. You got to dial it back because space disappears so fast, especially when you're keeping packaging.
Well, I know Insane Galvatron, he doesn't give a rat's ass about boxes.
And, oh, yeah.
And, you know, he was telling me the other day that there are some figures I sold him 4 years ago. I know I sold him a Scorponok that still had the styrofoam insert. I had a complete Trypticon or a near complete Trypticon, still had everything. And he just wanted the figure and the accessories. He didn't care about the boxes. And he's in the process of moving his collection to a different room now that's set up specifically for his collection. And he was telling me how he's going to have to get rid of all these boxes that he's been meaning to get rid of. And I'm like, you know, there's people that still want those boxes.
Yeah, there's even people. You'll get money for the styrofoam in a box of a Scorponok, no problem.
Yeah.
You'll definitely get a nice pretty penny. There's obviously some packaging that does have value. But I think it really hits that wall. Like, I mean, when you're holding on to a Transmetal 2 Cheetor card back for like 20 years now, just give it up, man. Just give it up. It's not like even like Beast Wars era, there's really not much tear it off or even carefully removed bubble card backs that are really going to make or break a figure's value. Yeah. It's really in the end going to just be a waste of space. And I'll tell you, like, I had a humongous box of like every Armada card, and I'm just like, what am I doing? You know, what the hell am I – why am I holding on to Armada card backs of Laserbeak and everything? Even if I find these figures again and I try to sell them, it's not going to change the value. I mean, maybe like the one rare Armada figure, like a Red Thrust from Europe or something might be worth something, the Power Lynx version. But the rest of the entire line from start to finish is zip. And it's like there's no reason to hold on to these. And it's not even a reference thing. Is there tech specs on them? Hell no. There's not even that on them anymore. And the beautiful thing is we live in this day and age of the internet. If we wanted to read the bios of someone, it's two clicks away. It's not like, you know, oh, we had to keep the tech specs. We had to reference the character if we needed to. We've gotten to that point now where information and literally the colorful information is right at our fingertips that we don't need to keep anything anymore. Even comic books, if you could find a nice gigantic, as much as I don't endorse this, but you can find a gigantic torrent that'll have every single Marvel G1 issue from 1 to 80, and you have that in your computer, it takes absolutely no space. You can fit in your iPod or what in your iPad or whatever, or you can have a gigantic long box that's, you know, the size of a footstool. So it's just there's so many different ways that one has to really consider how to – I mean, I see this happen a lot actually now with the modern video game community. A lot of guys who are retro gamers, they're actually selling off their vintage collection, and then they're literally having every game into one little flash card that runs on a Nintendo. And you would think about 8,000 Nintendo games all in the palm of your hand, or you could have 200 Nintendo games that take up your entire wall space, and you got to blow into them. So they've had to go through that same space issue, and video games, man, do those take space. You know, it's like being a DVD collector or something. It's just you're not going to win, you know, and you're not impressing nobody. It's a wall of nothing. But it's just – it's the same thing. You have to look at so many different factors that take so much space, and you got to really think you got to cut here. You got to cut there. You got to – oh, maybe I could save space here by not keeping card backs. Maybe I could save space here by not keeping comic books and going digital. Maybe, you know, same thing. Even with people who are like music. Imagine people who are music. They had tons of records or CDs, and now you could fit that all into an iPad, you know, or like a million MP3s into like an iPad that has, you know, 18 gigs in it. It could probably hold the equivalency of like, God, 700 CDs. So there's so many things we have to consider when we do stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So many things.
Well, anybody else have any comments regarding that? Because I kind of want to move on from last week's topic or the last episode's topic. But before we do that, I want to give a little plug for our sponsors, CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service, CapturedPrey.com. Where you can save free shipping on orders of $150 or more right now. And also Mega Toy Fan, maximize your collection with Mega Toy Fan. I just got a messenger and I don't know why, but, okay. I'm going to have to mute that. That's annoying.
I think that's my fault. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, maximize your collection with Mega Toy Fan, and you can find Mega Toy Fan at your conventions wherever you go. I'm sure he's at the big conventions like
Capcom,
JoeCon.
I'm trying to be.
He's even right here on the podcast for crying out loud. You can't.
He's selling right now as we're talking.
Yeah, trying. And there's free parking.
Yeah.
And the cool thing with Captured Prey doing the free shipping is when we do our third-party stuff, you're probably going to need that. Because there's some pretty awesome stuff in our third-party roundup tonight, and this is not even everything that we could show you.
Yeah. Also, we're going to be doing a little bit of a giveaway today. Courtesy of our sponsor, Captured Prey, I have three Kabaya kits individually. One is Motormaster, one is Onslaught, and the other is Silverbolt. A little bit later in this show, one of these is going to be given away today on this show for the live listeners. For those of you who are listening via the audio download at a later date, we're going to do something for you later on, too. But I'll tell you a little bit later in the show how you can win one of these tonight. But first, what you got to do, if you're listening to us live, I want you to tweet us. I want you to tweet about us on your Twitter feed. Give people a link to this YouTube video that you're watching right now. On your Facebook page, let people know you're watching. And a little bit later on, I'm going to tell you how you can win a free Transformer product courtesy of our sponsor, Captured Prey. And we're going to be doing some other giveaways coming up soon. We got a really big giveaway that's in the brew. And it's probably the biggest giveaway that we've – well, it's easily the biggest giveaway we've ever done on TFYLP. But look out for that in coming episodes. We're going to be talking about that some more. Yeah, that's going to be really awesome. But we really want you guys to get us out there and let other people know that you're watching and listening to TFYLP, and you can get free stuff. So that's cool things. Hashtag TFYLP. Let us know you're listening. Now, later on in the show, we'll talk about that. Right now, let's talk about third-party stuff. As Headmaster Don was alluding to a moment ago, yeah, we got a lot of crap here.
Yeah.
And a lot of great stuff, too.
Durham, one thing is my screen has gone completely black. I have nothing. I hear you fine, but I cannot see the chat. I cannot see y'all. I have a black screen of death.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Yeah, so I can talk about them if you need me to, but I can't reference the links because I can't
see
the link.
Well, let's just kind of – since there's so much here and we got so much time, let's just kind of do the cliff notes of some of them. Fans Project Core is sending out their first, I guess, free figure for those who are subscribed through the Steel Core.
Oh, there we go. It's back. Kind of.
It's Massey's fault. It's a Massey attack.
No. Well, it's he's doing it from inside of a box, so he's very talented then.
Are you having an ID10T error?
No, it's just I don't know what it is.
Let me crack up on the Coke here. Fans Project Core shipping out those of you who have ordered this or have subscribed to the Steel Core trailer, was the trailer the first piece? I'm a little unclear as that. The first piece?
The trailer was the first piece in what they're hoping to be is a new step forward for the Core collectors. Yeah. And when you bought the trailer, you got the one Core figure, and now you're getting two or three other cores as part of your package deal.
I just got the ID10T thing.
Huh.
Right? I had to Google it.
Yeah. Well, my video is back, but everything's frozen. So I don't know what's going on.
We see and hear you just fine anyway.
Okay, that's cool. So anyway, yeah. So that's what's going on. So that way, you get different. So that way, you get the different Fans Project cores coming out, which is kind of neat because you can say each core is a different capability or whatever you want to do. So that'll be nice. Plus, the trailer looks really good with Steel Core too. So it's definitely a nice piece to add on.
That's kind of one thing I wish I had gotten a hold of, but I mean, I've seen it. I saw it at TFCon last year, TFCon USA. It's a really nice looking figure, but I'm not sure if it'd be right down my alley. I guess it's supposed to be more of like more or less a Power Master homage.
Oh, it's a Power Master homage. I call it that universe. I call it their universe's Ultra Magnus. You know, it doesn't really. There's nothing about that figure that says it's Ultra Magnus, but it's just kind of, since this came out originally after Protector, and Protector was their Rodimus, it just sort of, my personal headcanon.
Oh, the Maz just sent me a friend request. Yay. I totally lost my train of thought.
Yeah, your astral train of thought derailed.
Yeah, my astral train of thought had Decepticons hauling in his ass. Megamus, your thoughts on Steel Corps and the little free bots that come with it?
I bought the trailer.
Send you your free bot, huh?
That's right. I'm waiting for it.
Yeah. Apparently they're shipping. Apparently there was a production error, and the second one was shipped to them first. So we're getting them in the reverse order, but it's the same basic core. So, you know, but the ones being sent are different than what they originally planned. But stuff happens.
Then you step in it.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Yeah, I got that one.
Yeah, you see what I did there?
ID 10T. Peace.
or you could have the PEBCAC error too. A problem exists between keyboard and chair.
Wow.
That's the error that Megamus tends to have a lot.
Yeah.
He's being all quiet there.
Yep.
Fans Toy Stomp.
Yes.
Want.
Yes. And I think I could not find them in the time that we had getting ready, because I only found out about them a while ago originally. I couldn't find them again. There are some Digibashes out there, but the official one from Fans Toys is still a great prototype. But he looks awesome. And I have not been disappointed with the Fans Toys project Dinobots yet.
Now I know what was their slag called?
Scoria.
Scoria had a number of issues. I know Megamus had a number of issues with his. From what I understand, the Soar they have repaired a lot of issues, but I mean they.
Yeah, they tightened up the QC. I never had the problem. The reported problems with Scoria, I never really had to any degree that I heard about. But again, it's luck of the draw. My Soar is fine. You know, Swoop's not my favorite Dinobot, but this is a really solid incarnation. I know there's been several reviews of test samples of Sever, which is their Snarl.
I've actually had my hands on it.
That's right. You did one, and I've heard nothing but extremely positive things about Sever.
I want that toy. I want Sever, and I want to Stomp. Sever. Whenever I held it in my hands, now granted this was a production sample, it was not a final piece. My biggest gripe with it was the fact that the hands, there's like a little flange on like the weapons.
Yeah.
That sticks in. It's on all the masterpieces. It doesn't stick in and the fingers hold the weapon tightly, enough to where it will hold the weapon.
So it's like Rodimus.
It's not as tight as you want it to be. The Takara Rodimus had the issue. I know a couple of the Nissan, brothers that I have, they've got the same issue. So it's not just a third party problem. That was my only real gripe with the figure. But the detail on it, well, another thing that I wish they had done a little bit better was the face of the robot. The face of the robot was a bit plain. For Sever. It was a bit plain. But overall, the figure was absolutely gorgeous. It was the all chrome one that had the chrome spines and the chrome dino head, and it was just an absolutely gorgeous figure. Very ingenious conversion. I loved how the legs transformed and seemed to just encapsulate everything up inside the leg perfectly, without any, you know, kibble hanging off. It's just really, really nice.
Yeah, I'm trying again. I'm having some issues here with video. You see it? Okay. Because that's sore, and there's one or two things that give me a little bit of a pause when I transform him. These, I'm not sure if you can see it. Again, I'm winging it, as you can see.
Mm-hmm. Wings. But
these little knee, the little pieces that lock into the knees up here, mm-hmm. those kind of worry me because they really just sort of hang out in the air, and then they connect into the upper leg. So other than that right there, I wish that was kind of like another flip-up piece that was in the leg that you could, like, maybe like cantilever up and connect in instead of it being like loose there in the air.
Well, they had a lot of problems with that. A lot of people breaking those, and a lot of people said the easiest fix they could have done was made that die cast. Those pieces die cast, and then they wouldn't break because they will snap right in half.
Yeah,
it's just too thin of plastic.
Yeah, but that's. For a toy of this price and of this heft, that's kind of a minor-ish. I mean, it's valid, but it's kind of like, you know, if that's all I can find, yeah, it's just, yeah. So, yeah, fans toys, Dinobots are the Dinobots I'm picking out of the sea of
figures. Like I said, I don't want to spend $1,000 on all five Dinobots. That being said, I do love the Dinobots. They're probably one of my favorite sub-factions of the Transformers. And I have Masterpiece Grimlock, Hasbro Masterpiece Grimlock, and to me it is totally sufficient. I don't see a need to replace it with a pricier third-party product, even with a set of high heels that like Scoria comes with. I don't see a need for it.
Well, I'm the same way.
But there are two Dinobots that I have a little connection to personally. Snarl was one of them because Snarl was my first boxed Transformer I ever got. And Sludge is and always has been my favorite Dinobot. And so if I were to pick up two third-party Dinobots, right now, Sever and Stomp are top on my list. Now, the Gigapower Gutter, I love the looks of it, but it's just a bit. I mean, Sever was giant because whenever I had Sever here at my place for the photo shoot that I did for Captured Prey, just for comparisons, I set Sever in my display case. Next to Hercules, and he came up to just about the chest piece, around the chest piece area. I'm like, this is just way too big. And
it's not to scale with anything.
It's not to scale with anything, but I still want it. And then I got to thinking, well, Gutter, I think, looks better, and he's even bigger. And that's just a big no for me. I really like it. That coupled with the fact that it's taking forever for them just to get Gutter out and distributed.
Yeah.
I've heard some people saying that he's starting to hit some stores. I don't think Captured Prey's gotten theirs in yet. I'm not sure. But this is just the first Dinobot out of five. And we've been talking about him and seeing protos for him for like the last year and a half.
Yeah.
2 years. Now, we haven't even seen anything on Gigapower other Dinobots.
Right. Now, Hans Toys has teased that they are doing their own Grimlock, which will probably be more in scale with the rest of them. But I mean, I mentioned this earlier in the week, and
Sorry, are we boring you?
No, sorry. Yeah, I'm old. I worked. I'm tired. Unless their Grimlock does something really incredibly unique, or it's such a interesting take on the character that the Hasbro Masterpiece does not pull off, I can't see any reason to get another Grimlock like you, Durin, because the Hasbro Grimlock is already a G1 Grimlock. And
it's the best Grimlock we could ever get.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't need.
In all honesty, that's a design that was aced since day one.
Yeah, and if you did anything that was so unique or so interesting that it made it too different, I mean, a good different, but that different from that G1 Grimlock, would it even be Grimlock?
The whole point of this Masterpiece line is to really have those companion pieces for your Masterpiece display. Yeah. You know, for them to tackle it, it's to go, well, what could they do that Takara didn't do, that Hasbro didn't do? I mean, think about Apron, you know, the tray with the stuff, the crown. That there was one that had even the whole throne even. You know, like there's been so many different releases, the flaming sword and everything. What could they possibly do at this point to that mold, to that design, that would encourage people to go that route instead of the official route? Because the thing is, these other Dinobots, they've had the luxury of no other options. And if we've learned anything from Combiner Wars, is it's teaching people the second something official comes around, people start to really reconsider their third-party toys. So this is a very weird territory for them to go into. They go, all right, now we're going up against a already pre-existing Masterpiece toy. It's the same way. Imagine you said, like, oh, we're going to do a third-party Masterpiece Soundwave. What was wrong with the one that already exists?
Yeah. Well, now, granted, though, Grimlock runs a fair amount – I'll preface this. Grimlock runs a fair amount on the secondary market.
Despite the fact he's been reissued 4 times now at this point through different venues.
And then you have that awesome King Grimlock deco.
Yeah. So a third-party Grimlock, like, for example, when BTS was talking about doing their version of Overlord, and it would have been $385 if it had come out.
Oh, God. Thank God that didn't happen.
Well, I know, but I'm also saying if you want an Overlord representational character, getting a BTS Overlord or getting this Fans Toys Grimlock might be a better option than getting the official ones with the prices. Look at eBay on an Overlord. You're not going to get a G1 Overlord for $385.
Yeah, that's a very strong example because Overlord, you're in loose, missing the Power Masters or God Masters. You're lucky if you get them for $700.
Right.
That character I can understand, but the thing is that in the case of that Grimlock, one has to ask themselves, what do you think they're going to charge?
Probably around $225 is what the rest of them have been.
I think that's honestly what we could probably still find a decent Masterpiece Japanese King Grimlock for.
Right.
I mean, they're not a huge shortage of them. I mean, they're still kicking around.
Or you can go with the U.S. version, the last one that was released.
Yeah, that's just it. Well, I feel the definitive version of that character is the recent reissue by Takara that comes with the Flaming Sword. Like, you get everything and then some. Like, you get the crown, too. You get everything in that one. But that one, I believe, was $250, if I remember correctly, on BBTS. So it really is at that point where it's a very weird world that they're going into, that they're creating a product to try to one-up the official Masterpiece product. We kind of have that now where we're having the DX9 Rodimus that's coming around, but that is a different story because it's doing a completely different style, you know, a completely different, you know, this one's trying to be the Ox design style where the original was trying to be the animation style. I mean, we haven't really had anything that really has tried to do that. We've had stuff that did that when there wasn't anything. We had a Masterpiece kind of Bumblebee when we didn't have one. We had a Masterpiece kind of Soundwave that was being designed when we didn't have one. Look at all the Megatrons that are trying to be better than the Masterpiece one. But that's Grant. The reason for that is because that thing hasn't had an engineering kick in the butt since, 2008? You know, a very long time.
Yeah. The cool thing about Carry is it's the first in a new line of Masterpiece style The I'm blanking here. What was the name of the die-cast figures that Rodimus?
Oh, the Titanium.
Okay, well, Titanium.
So this is our first Masterpiece Titanium.
Well, but there's a reason for that, though, because Don Figueroa, who was in charge of the designs of Titaniums, how it worked was Hasbro got the rights to Galoob, who kind of got absorbed into them. They're like, hey, let's do a die-cast line. Let's give it to Don Figueroa. We're going to throw names at Don, and then Don's going to just do stuff with them. And they'll be like, Don, we want a Cheetor figure. We don't care what it is. We want you to design one. Don did Beast Machines. And it was the same thing. When he was offered a Rodimus, they're like, we want you to do a Rodimus figure. He went with the Ox Studio design, which was very popular in 1986 in Japan. It was a studio that was in charge of doing all the manga and Japanese and promotional artwork in Japan. And that Rodimus had a very specific style.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy about this carry is that it's totally invoking that. The humongous freaking spoiler, the very jagged edges, the shoulders, it looks absolutely gorgeous. It's actually what there was an unreleased PVC figure called Super Hybrid Rodimus that came out in 1986 in Japan also. There's very limited numbers of them. I'm one of the few that has one. And that one, it was based on that design also. It's based off of that Ox Studio design. If you Google it, it's a famous designer in Japan. His name's Obari. He was actually behind Call of the Primitives and why it looked so badass.
I love that episode.
Yeah. So, you know, like, but that said, it's invoking that style, that look, where, I mean, you look at the Masterpiece Rodimus figure, that's trying to invoke more what has existed since the 86 movie and with everything Nelson Shin was doing with season 3 in his studio, which was ACOM at the time, which was, you know, hit or miss.
Yeah. Let's not go there. But anyway, that's Fans Toys Stomp. You can check around for the digibashes that I've seen about. So we'll just have to wait and see. And I'm sure one of us here will be getting it eventually for a review. Or at least talk about it on the show when Sever comes out.
Well, I've told Sidecutter at Captured Prey. I told him as soon as he gets in Stomp, I want to photograph that too. But Jim, did you hold up a Polyon a moment ago?
Hold up a what?
A Polyon?
No.
Was that a Polyon that you held up, or was that a different?
I held up Megatron.
Oh, okay. I'm like, you have a Polyon already?
No, and I also had the Commodore Ultra Prime in the frame. But if you notice, I figured out a Power Master Prime configuration for the little Legends Optimus. The smaller Legends Optimus, not the Combiner Wars one.
Nice. Has anyone gotten their hands on a Polyon yet? Brett, have you?
Okay. Hopefully tomorrow.
Oh wow. I'm still on the fence about him. I want to see a few more reviews, a little more in hand information. But I do have Fierce Attack coming tomorrow, which means I'll finally have completed Warbitron Bruticus, which means I'll be able to form Bruticus.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you one of those people that waits until they have all the components before they put it in the combined form?
Well, Bruticus is, you know how everybody has that one character that they'll probably buy every single version of it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, Bruticus is mine. I've always loved the Combaticons. They're my favorite American combiner. And God help me if I'm alive another 30 or 40 years and Lyo Kaiser starts getting the same treatment, then we get a new Lyo Kaiser every couple of years.
Don't hold your breath.
Don and I had this talk before about who's the best Gestalt and this, that, and the other. And
well, see, that's why I say American
Bruticus is the best. And this is, and we said this before when that kit came out,
Colossus
Bruticus, and now that's it. That's the best kit out there. That's Bruticus.
We thought this is as good as it's ever going to get.
This is it. I mean, this is, you know, we got it. And then we saw pictures of this, and we went, oh, wait a minute. This is it. Now, this is the best thing.
And we discussed
it. This is going to be my definite Bruticus until they come out with something better. I mean.
Well, now, we talked about this on RFC, about the G2 possible Superion.
Oh, it's please. I mean, do we even have to like? Even,
I know. Well, I'm just.
Of course,
just,
it's going to happen.
I'm just.
Yep.
Erring on the side of caution, but just think.
Caution.
Yeah. How many Bruticuses are we gonna be able to get if they start recoloring it? We got a G2.
We got a G2 War for Cybertron Bruticus. Of course, we're gonna get an actual.
I know. G2. So it's just.
G1, G2, Battle Gaia, Universe, Arctic Camo.
Ruination. We got a Wreckers one. I mean, they could milk it to the ground if they needed to.
They could do the three-headed dog paint scheme.
No. That's like Highlander 2. It doesn't exist. It was just a bad dream by everybody. But no, it's like XB said, make them all G2. G2 repaints for everybody. I will buy them.
Defense
Even a G2 repaint for Master. You would be painted in G2 colors?
That would be some ugly G2 ass.
Massey.
He'd wind up looking like the Cheshire Cat or something, you know? But,
Dayglow.
Yeah. He'd be awesome.
Last third party product I'd like to talk briefly about. Well, actually, there's two. A third party Signal Lancer, which we'll talk about in a moment. And then I also want to talk about the last two unique toys or den figures, the Hunger and the Cutthroat that were released. Showed.
Barnes is so far down my list of characters that
I want to do character
four. But after seeing these combined pictures, it's like, no, I don't. Want a new Abominus. He looks so good.
Just wait till the Battle Wars.
He does. That Hunger is just.
Well,
this is what's sad. Right now, this is my Hunger.
Yeah.
That's everybody's hunger right now.
Yeah, I want a better Hunger.
Yeah, but is it me, or does he look a little plain in robot mode?
He's just prototype. I mean, he's obviously. He's obviously unpainted.
Well, you know, I do agree a little bit with Don, I think, but also the plainness does stem from the fact that you're talking a character that's primary white with a little bit of this and that in the head and everything. So, I mean, unless they do shading on that white or something, it is going to probably come out kind of bland looking. Look at the G1 Hunger toy in robot mode. You know what I mean? There's not really much going on there.
It's a lot of cream.
It really is. It really is, and it really depends on the white that they use. If they really shade it up, if they go for a straight up white, then you know it's the little. If they're going to go with like a more of a pinkish hue, it's hard to say what colors they're going to go with in the end in the final product. But it's something that already kind of is a difficult color scheme to make look interesting.
Now I will say, if they recolor these in Technobot colors for like a shattered glass Abominus.
No.
That would be kind of interesting.
I'd be okay with that.
I would too.
The only third party company really to go that direction was with the Devastator, right?
I'm so tired of shattered glass anything.
I'm just saying, for me, the Technobots and the Terracons in their inverse colors is kind of interesting. So you know, it's like Scorponok and Fortress Maximus.
Well, they're definitely going to have to do something with those molds, so.
Yeah.
Not much else you could do with it. So
it's very pretty. Very pretty.
Signal Lancer.
Oh yeah.
Why did it take this long?
I know. They literally were spoon fed the design in episode 52 of Galaxy Force. They're like, here, just take the frickin' Mudflap, aka I think he was called Demolishor in the Japanese version. Just take his mold and work it from there. I have no idea why it took this long.
Put him on a steak.
I have no idea, but I'm glad. I'm glad someone's finally doing it.
He's a transforming traffic light.
Yeah. It's, well,
hey, man.
That's a Jeff Dunham reference for anybody that doesn't know about Jose Jalapeno on a steak.
Oh, who doesn't?
It's jalapeno pepper on a steak.
For those that don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome that they're doing it. I mean, people are going like, oh, you know, like a light pole. I don't get it. I mean, we had a lot of weird stuff anyways. Even animated. I mean, people made a joke a while back that Prowl came with an Action Master Signal Lancer. But, you know, way back. So, you know, everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Wow.
It's like, yeah. Like, he was the only one that came with an accessory. And everyone's like, why is Prowl the only one that comes with like a weird accessory that has nothing to do with the toy? And Derek Y was like, it's an Action Master signal answer. It's the best we could do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those characters that have been very niche, and it's at this point now we always ask ourselves, who hasn't gotten a toy?
Yeah.
You know, DevCon finally got his toy, and RC got her toy, and it's like, who hasn't got their toy yet? And at this point, like, third parties like going like, well, let's do Signal Answer. Now, the only complaint I have is the transformation on this one is a little different than what was originally designed with Galaxy Force. It kind of takes a little liberties in different areas, especially with the way the pole is and everything. But, I mean, hey, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. The first thing I thought of was like, yes, this looks great. The second thing was, why did it take them so long?
Yeah. Almost 10 years.
they were busy making Dinobots.
and hopefully we'll get his friend the payphone that's out in the middle of nowhere eventually.
Yeah, the payphone.
It'll be an Action Master payphone.
Yeah, it'd have to be. Long. Yeah, we never saw a robot mode on him.
Right.
Wait, what's a payphone?
On a stick.
No, in this day and age, what's a payphone?
Right.
Yeah, seriously.
I actually saw one at the mall. Wait a minute. What's Brett got a picture of there?
Looks like Scorponok's crotch.
Yeah, it's done weird. In weird-ass colors.
Yeah, what's the weird-ass colors?
That Scorponok would be if he was in the killing jar.
Yeah.
That's a Scorponok that's a glass and G2 and crap, so I'm like, throw that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Scorponok came in a weird color scheme in the MicroMaster commercials.
G1 Scorponok with like blue upper legs and what was the other colors? Like,
let me get a picture of it.
I have never seen that thing.
I'm still looking for it.
Well, see, I never gave KOs and stuff much more than a second glance. Just,
you're crazy. They're awesome.
I know, but I'm saying, seeing all the stuff that you're showing. Mm-hmm. On how nice some of these KOs are, you know.
Ready? Dude, I've got the gold masterpiece Lambor, and that thing is sexy as hell.
Well, let me put you this way. I found this when a guy was selling the Fast Tracks and couldn't figure out what it went to, so I went searching and found it. He was selling this, and it went to this.
Take a look. The black screen?
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's pretty awesome.
Now for listeners,
I'm
if you're listening to the audio version, it's a G1 Scorponok with a chrome gold chest, I guess a purple body, a dark purple body, orange guns, yellow claws, blue shoulders, blue thighs, what's that, a magenta-like?
Kind of feet.
And
it's
orange.
Almost like a pink.
Yeah, pinkish-orange. Yeah. Or pinkish.
And then the feet are orange.
Yeah, it's almost like they looked at Safety Megatron and said, hey, we can beat that.
This thing is so hideous, it's beautiful.
It is.
Safety Zarek.
Yeah, Safety Zarek.
I love
it. It almost looks like something Brave would do. I don't know why.
It does. It does kind of look like Brave. You know,
I don't know why.
I wish we'd gotten the red repaint of him, but we never did.
I have so much in my knockoff arsenal that I have to find yet. That's one of them.
Heck, well, you got Mr. Hard Hat, and I hate you just for that.
I got three of them.
I know, I hate you for that even more.
Mr. Hard Hat.
That thing's awesome.
It is.
Well, let's move on from third party, and we'll talk a little bit about official things right now.
Got something. Something okay. Official that's special about today.
Oh,
just turned 31 today.
Happy birthday, G1 Comics. Happy birthday, G1 Comics.
And from that, we got the best tagline for any comic ever. Number 80 in a 4-issue limited series.
Yep.
Yes. So May 8th, 1984, even though it was printed with a date of September on the cover, Marvel Transformers Generation 1, Issue 1, number 1 in a 4-issue limited series, was released to shelves, thus beginning essentially Generation 1.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And, oh, my God, what an info dump that first issue is.
There you go.
It is.
Right there.
It's but yeah.
Number four.
Yes.
Number 80 in a 4-issue limited series.
But I'm also going
to... By the way, this, try and find this compared to issue number 1.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is so much harder to find.
Oh, yeah. Issues number 1 to about, I'd have to say, like 55 is a walk in the park, and then you hit that wall.
Because Furman took over in the early 50s. I have a copy of 79 and 80 signed by Furman and Wildman.
See, now, I don't know if, you know, we're not going to jump into the comics so much, but I believe there was a couple issues that are hard to find in that span that you were talking about. And I go back to G.I. Joe. If you look at G.I. Joe, the first issue is easy to find. The second one is impossible to find, and the rest are easy. I don't know why, but the second one's always hard to find.
Well, actually, I can answer that for y'all. A good friend of mine runs a comic book shop. They print a lot of the first one because they want to saturate the market and get it out there. But the second one, if they don't have the numbers back from how well the first one did, the second one is always underproduced to counterbalance how many they made of the first issue. And then by that point, with 2 issues under the belt, they start getting enough feedback from retailers to see, okay, we need to go back to a more regular printing numbers for issue 3 and on. So if you notice that number 2 issue not being available to a lot of comics for that reason.
Yeah, that seems to be one of the ones that was the hardest to find.
Yeah, yeah. And I will toss out as a related thank you to Bob Budinski for putting so much work into those first 4 issues. Fleshing out the characters, you know, giving us that backstory. Yeah, it was an info dump, but it was stuff that we needed to get these characters separate in our heads. And he did all that stuff. He says he's done it basically from just a 1 or 2 sentence idea that Hasbro had.
And you know what's interesting? A fun fact with that is, after Bob did all of that, creating all those characters, creating those profiles and everything, years later, he would go on to help with the Marvel trading card series by Impel, which was like the first time ever there was like a true documentation of each individual character in the Marvel universe, where there was bios and tech spec readouts and everything like that. So he credited Transformers and his experience working with Transformers into how he was able to create that whole process for the extremely successful Marvel Universe trading card line that started in 1990.
And it's weird because I was very lucky being old that I was able to get the original 4-issue miniseries of the Transformers Handbook when it was being released in the
Universe.
And I'm lucky that I was able to get 2 copies of the trade paperback when they collected everything and added a lot of characters. I still, even as well as I know these characters, I will still go back and I will read those when I find them, and I'll sit there and I'll read all their bios again.
That's always been the beauty of Transformers, is the individuality of characters. I always say, like, go back and read an individual character from one of these Scramble City guys, you know? Like, do you really know Lightspeed? Do you really know Nosecone? You know, like, everyone really was an individual, and it's always interesting.
And, you know, that's one thing about Dreamwave, despite all their faults and all their issues, when they did their guidebooks.
Yeah, the More Meets the Eye ones.
Yeah, they actually fleshed out the Micromasters, Pretenders. Yeah, all these tertiary characters that never got this, and I will always thank Dreamwave for making those universe issues. Because I've got the trade paperbacks.
And issue number 8 of that 8-issue series, fleshing out the science of Transformers.
Is that awesome. I forgot about that. You're right. So for all that you did wrong, Mr. Pat Lee, that was done well. So thank you for that.
You know what they always say about Pat Lee? Like, and the thing is, he was actually a very nice guy, super nice guy, really. Just don't lend him $5. That's what it was. He was the kind of guy that was like, great artist, very talented, super nice guy, very charitable. Just don't lend him $5. You'll never see that money again. And that was his problem, you know, yeah. Is that he was just bad with money.
Anyway,
very bad with money.
But anyway, Don, this is for you.
Yes, I hate you. That is Mr. Hardhead, if anybody has not. It's
that is the gift set. They actually came individually carded too, which I have.
Yeah. See, I saw that on an end cap in 1985 at Rose's Department Stores, if any of y'all remember Rose, the Rose's chain. And it was like $20.
Well, that's what I think is funny. If you look up in the corner.
Yeah, the sticker's there.
$19.99.
And I never bought that because I was not driving at the time. I was making money mowing yards and all the other kind of crap you do before you actually get a real job at 16, and never got one. And now they're absolutely through the roof.
All right. Before we move on, I think it's time we do a giveaway.
All right.
That's good.
Time we do a giveaway.
But the shipping for Daniel is going to be insane from Canada.
Well, let's put a little caveat on this. It's it's only open to those listeners who are in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K.
Well, it's a Kabaya kit. It won't cost too much.
It's not going to cost too much.
Yeah.
The only reason I would say Australia to our great listeners in Australia, but God bless you, Hang Yip Chan. It costs an arm and a leg to ship things, just something small, to Australia.
It does. It does.
I'd love to. Maybe we can do something later.
Well, I know that sometimes what they do is they say if it's really important to the winner, if they're willing to like help a little bit with the shipping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I know that like when people do big giveaways, like, oh, they're giving away masterpiece toys, like everyone's allowed. But if someone wins like in China or whatever, it's like, could you at least help us with the shipping? You know, you just want a free masterpiece toy.
We're probably going to do something like that whenever we do our big giveaway, probably a month or two down the line. We want all listeners to be in on that. As far as this right now, this is not for a particular one. I'm just going to have a random one of these three Kabaya kits. It's Motormaster, Silver Bolt, or Onslaught. So you'll get one of the random ones. What I want you to do, if you're listening to us, and even if you're listening to us on the audio download, because you never know, somebody may be slow to getting it up there. I want you to go on Twitter, and if you are listening to us, tweet at TFYLP, hashtag give me combiner. And the very first person to do that, you also have to be following us so I can direct message you back and I can get your shipping information. The very first person to tweet at TFYLP, hashtag give me combiner. Give me combiner needs to be one word. And you will win a free Kabaya kit, courtesy of our sponsor, Captured Prey. I'm watching the Twitter feed right now, so hopefully somebody will tweet us very shortly, and that's all you have to do is tweet us at TFYLP, hashtag give me combiner, and we'll watch for that. Now, speaking of combiner wars, there was a new reveal today for the Takara Combiner Wars, or Unite Warriors, I guess, Ultra Magnus. Anybody want to talk about that?
Interesting.
I'll let one of y'all do that because I read about it, but since I don't have any interest in getting the figure, I can't convey the awesomeness it probably needs.
I find it an interesting direction that they're taking with it, considering the Japanese, from what I've realized, they're quite obsessed with the More Meets the Eye comic books. So it's interesting that they decide that with this scale of a release to turn that character into Alpha Trion. Although it's smart. I mean, in all honesty, when you look at that mold, there's not really much you can do with it. So, I mean, it's kind of clever. But, I mean, it's interesting because they also are big fans of the Mortal Meets the Eye books over there in the Land of the Rising Sun. So it's interesting that they're not getting the same release we are, or at least something that's a little more jazzed up.
Well, you know, you got to figure we here in the East or in the West or however you want to look, whatever, whichever perspective you want to look at, because if you're over there, here, there, neither here nor there. You know, us over here, we like to import the Asian versions of these figures because the premium paint jobs, extra pieces, what have you, mm-hmm. because it gives us an incentive to get some of those figures. Well, could we look at it this way for the Japanese market or the Asian market in general?
Oh yeah.
You know, it gives them an incentive to get the U.S. version of Ultra Magnus if they want the Minimus Ambus. So I mean, both ways. They are.
There has been many times where we actually did get the Superior release. It's not always the case where it's Hasbro to Car Superior. There has been a lot of times where, I mean, I always look at it this way. It's like they got that Unicron 2010 version, but I still believe that our version, the Amazon, whatever you want to call it, you know, 30th anniversary, I still believe that one's the superior one, you know. So we once in a while get something better than they do. And, I mean, even some of the Masterpiece releases, sometimes we got the better deals in the case of the Soundwave.
Although I wish the American one had the red eyes.
Visor. A little bit of paint won't change much. But yeah, like it's. I really dig it though. I really dig that's really clever the way that they went about with that, because there wasn't much really you could have done with it. I mean, the only thing that I'm kind of shocked with is, I think would have been really good is if they would have done it in Daikon colors with that Alpha Trion with it, because then that would really have that invoke that you know pre-history, pre-war kind of thing, because you'll have like A3 with a Daikon Magnus. I don't know. That's just me who kind of like looks.
I was thinking Diaclone Alpha Trion. I'm like, what?
Oh, no.
What?
Diaclone Color Magnus.
I get you now. It is
Powered Convoy.
I ID10T, remember?
Yeah. But yeah, I dig it. I think it's cool. Anyone?
I was actually talking with Insane Galvatron about it this afternoon on the phone. Me personally, I like the Minimus Ambus, but oh my God, I'm not a regular reader of the comics. Not that I don't like them or anything like that. I just don't regularly read the comics. If I didn't know people talking about Minimus Ambus that actually read the comics, I wouldn't even know who the hell he is.
Well, that's where it also gets kind of confusing, too, because, and I don't want to talk too much about it because it's a bit of a spoiler with the comic, but the way Minimus Ambus works with the Ultra Magnus toy is going to be kind of confusing in the way that Alpha Trion is going to be interacting with it in this case. You know, so especially with, you know, when you kind of look at Alpha Trion, you go, well, did Alpha Trion, you know, Alpha Trion had something to do with the building of Ultra Magnus in other continuities. So it's like, now he's riding him like a mecha. It's kind of weird, you know, like because knowing what Minimus Ambus is in relation to Ultra Magnus in the IDW comic books continuity, having that over here now, and it's Alpha Trion, and it still has the same gimmick, it's kind of bizarre. But
I have to say this because it just popped into my head, and it's a horrible, terrible thought. At least this is not a Kiss Players toy.
Well.
I'm sorry, that just popped into my head. I apologize.
I actually enjoyed Kiss Play personally. I thought it was weird, but it actually brought a lot of continuity to G1. Like it filled a lot
on my shelves.
Yeah. Filled a lot of.
We have a winner on our giveaway. Crimson Rap at Crimson Raptors on Twitter. Has won the free Kabaya kit. I'm sending you a direct or a reply tweet right now. Send me a direct message with your address and name, and I will get it out to you as soon as possible. Maybe not tomorrow because it's Mother's Day weekend and everything. Probably sometime early this coming week, and I will get it out to you. Congratulations to at Crimson Raptors. You are the winner of this episode's Kabaya kit giveaway, sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Yes. Next topic. What else is new in
Blue Streak will be. Well, I'm sorry. Blue Streak will be available at Australian Toys R Us's.
And Canada, apparently.
On Canada, which may mean we'll be getting it as well.
Yeah. It looks expensive, too, the price that they put for it. Not a competitor in Creo. Creo.
Yeah.
Yay, more Creo. See,
Canadians.
Oh, Combined Wars Wave 3. The Deluxes are apparently showing up on the West Coast. They've shown up at several online retailers. The Voyagers have not shown up as of yet that I've heard, but hopefully they won't be too far behind. So that means within the next couple of weeks, we all may have Defensor.
Cool. That's just my Motormaster.
I can't wait to get a hold of that Streetwise. I know it's just a dead end with a new head. And
well, now... A couple of people I've seen during that have done reviews on Streetwise say there has been some mold fixes on that figure in the changes.
Hmm. Good.
So, I know that my daddy and has had a little bit of an issue with the legs staying together in arm mode. So
I don't actually have that figure just yet. I've got drag strip and breakdown. One thing I noticed with breakdown, though, is when you're putting them in the car or arm mode or whatever, getting the legs to come completely together, to become flush with one another.
I've got to take mine and squeeze. Like,
yeah.
That never. Well, you know what I mean. But I mean,
right.
Just got to take life by the balls and just squeeze, yeah. But
yeah, this is Combiner Wars, not Kiss Players.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's... I don't know if there's something that was mismolded or what, but it's an awfully uncomfortably tight fit as far as the two legs coming together. So I'm worried about maybe that might stress the plastic, or if that's been an issue that'll be fixed with the Protect-A-Bot.
Yeah. Well, I kind of hope that that future releases of Blackjack fix the looseness issue of the chest on Menasor. But
are we getting
the more I see about go ahead.
Are we getting future releases of Blackjack? I thought they were doing Rodimus.
Well, I mean that okay.
I got you.
But the more pictures I see of the Defensor, that very first picture that we saw at the New York Toy Fair was not very flattering of it at all. I know whenever I was on RFC with Don and the guys for that episode, and we first saw Defensor, I was not impressed at all. But now that I've seen some better pictures of, I think TF Yuki on Twitter has tweeted some really nice pictures of Defensor. Yeah, or it might not have been him, might have been somebody else, but it actually looked really nice, and I can't wait to get it now.
Well, Darren, one of the current thing I want to bring up. Road Rage.
Yes.
She looks beautiful.
Anybody have a picture of that TF Yuki?
I have it at a online store. I haven't got one. That's just the first thing.
Let me see if I can find one real quick. I'm pulling up Yuki's page right now.
Yeah.
He's got a gold spark plug, Armada spark plug. Unite Warriors.
That Corona spark plug?
Yeah.
Hey, Daniel, how close is this Road Rage to the Diaclone version?
Well, I mean, they're kind of basing it a little bit off of that e-hobby release that we got a while back, too.
I'm guessing the Blue Wings are a Diaclone thing because it doesn't really fit the... e-hobby original. I just happened to have it.
And what's interesting about that release is I read somewhere, I forget where I read it, but they're also the blaster that came with Trax is going to be a twin cast. So but the thing is, I haven't read anything about what they're going to do with that Raul mold. Like, are they going to do them in the Autobop episode colors instead of the Make Trax colors? I don't know, because he had two separate color schemes, so.
Okay. We got, here it is, John DeLuna actually shared it.
Thanks, John.
There's Masterpiece Road Rage for those of you who are watching on the YouTube channel right now.
And just the slight remolding they've done to make it a little more feminine looking has really just changed it.
Well, you've got the narrower hips and the thighs, and then the narrower jawline that's really noticeable to me.
Okay. And the female.
And the gun's different.
The gun's what?
I believe her gun is different than the MP tracks as well. Mm.
And did you notice the little blaster accessory is actually twin cast?
Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
So that will definitely be a great looking figure to go with tracks. Of course, I love tracks anyway, so this was a must buy.
Well, let's see here. How does it compare to the original? Looks wise.
Okay.
Yep. Very That's nice. What I said. Like more or less, they were going for what the E-Hobby Daikon was trying to do.
Pop that one back up again, Dorn. I think the stickers they have on the feet, they got that right.
Yeah. They were going for the E-Hobby.
And see that? You see the little, looks like a V on the foot?
Mm-hmm.
If you look, it's exactly what's on here.
Sweet. Very nice.
Said they did very good. On the forearms, yep.
Sell your classics, actually, people.
Actually, I think they did the opposite. It looks like they did the exact opposite on the forearms because they have a silver, red with a silver inlay, and the original has a silver with red inlay. Yeah.
Well, you know, there's so much red on that figure already. Maybe they just needed to do that, try to break it up a little bit.
Yeah. But it even got the little red striping on the wings. And, yeah, I mean, I don't know if my camera can pick it up, but, yes, the wings are blue, the same with the launchers and the missiles.
Yeah. Shatterglass Road Rage.
Yeah.
There you go.
Actually, according to the bio, apparently she is going to be Crosscut's bodyguard / advisor.
That was in the original story, too, with E-Hobby. Okay. Yeah, because Crosscut and Road Rage were the first ever like new G1 characters when E-Hobby started doing that. Because first they did Hauler and he was called Road Hauler. They did Hauler and they did Sunstorm, and then after that you had Road Rage and Crosscut, and then they did Dextrous, whatever his name was, the Hound Repin.
Detritus.
So they always came in pairs, and the fiction that was written for it always kind of worked together. So that was the story with those two. And we kind of, you know, Crosscut, we actually got a classics toy not too long ago. So
yeah,
all these characters are coming back.
Maybe if we get a Masterpiece grapple, we'll definitely get a Hauler out of it.
And Inferno. Oh.
Inferno's
a given.
And possibly Artfire.
Within due time, it looks like they're really tackling 84, 85 hardcore now. So,
yeah. Although I'll be hard pressed for them to top the DX9 Invisible. That thing is just a thing of beauty in my opinion.
I'm getting the Kokomo version. I am getting the Kokomo version.
Crasher. Yeah.
If I like Crasher, I might go back and buy Invisible as my Masterpiece Barrage. It just all depends on, you know, how Kokomo is.
Yeah, I did a photo shoot of the Invisible the other day. Those of you who follow Dime Chalk, he shared one of my shoots the other day of Invisible, and it's just a gorgeous figure. I mean, I can't find anything wrong with mine. The only thing I don't like is how the wheels on the feet kind of go in and out. Aside from that, I really have no issues.
They could have redesigned that a little better with I'm not going to say pegs, but better grooves for them to lock into.
Yeah.
Because they do get a little floppy.
They're a little floppy, but aside from that, I mean, he's just a phenomenal figure. Has anybody got anything else that they want to talk about before we log off tonight? I know it's Mother's Day weekend, and
I think there was a long list of releases that was released from Japan that kind of gave a sneak peek at some stuff that's going to be coming down the line. I think TFW had it somewhere. Hold on, let me check the front page. I remember reading something somewhere.
Speaking of mothers, I can't get Soundwave to give birth here. I think I got one of those companions stuck inside his chest.
Well, you have the Fall of Cybertron?
War Cybertron version. I actually got the Soundwave here and the, I guess it's Rumble, the blue one. Goodwill for less than a buck.
Very nice.
Just as a random thing while Daniel's looking that up, I was looking through the apparently Sound Blaster has dropped significantly in price. Masterpiece Sound Blaster has dropped significantly in price. I saw one for $135 at an online store in the last couple of days. So if you didn't get a Soundwave, that's not a bad option.
I love my Sound Blaster. I'm so happy with him. So
yep.
Yeah, so it's not like you're buying it just for a rat bat now.
I know we talked a little bit about Kitty Crap in the private group. Do we want to wait till next show to talk about that? Or
I think it's a pretty loaded topic.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. And then there was we are working on another topic that is based on an article that the Maz wrote for TF Source, and I have to say it was very thought provoking and actually something that we've kind of touched on before, but not really in depth, and also a subject that I've actually thought of before. And going back to what we kicked off the show with, you know, I got to looking around at all that I had. And one of the thoughts that I had was, who the hell would deal with all this stuff if I were to die tomorrow, you know? Yeah. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to tackle that subject on this show in the next week or two. It's a very deep.
It's painful.
Hard. Yeah. Go ahead, Don.
I was just gonna say, you know, as everybody knows, with me being on RFC. We lost J.D. Church last year in February, a little year ago. And with me trying to sell his collection, Brian has been selling a lot of his collection. But we wanted to help Amanda out, his widow, because, you know, we could handle the stuff more than she could with all she had going on. But that really opened a lot of us to this very topic. It's like, I don't want to burden the people that I have left, which is not that many people, that I could trust to handle this estate. I use the estate loosely if I kick the bucket. And it's been weighing on me for the better part of a year. So, and I'm not married.
Now, you guys are still selling his collection.
Yeah, Brian sold most of his stuff. Wow. I have a lot of Sendai stuff left that I need to get up. But most of the stuff he has left, you know, he's got a loose and complete Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia and some other good pieces, but a lot of it is AEC. I'm trying to piece all that together.
I tell you what, I'm going to throw this out there. I'll let you mention it to Brian and see what he says. Mm-hmm. Maybe Brian can come on the show the day that we actually cover this topic. If you guys want to gather some of the best stuff that's left out of his collection and maybe throw it up as a highlight, and maybe we can move a few of the items.
Oh, that'd be great. I'll definitely chat with him when I talk to him next week.
Yeah, so we'll
I didn't mean that up. I'm just saying personally, I know, because you're talking about this article making me think about that. This hit us all at RFC pretty heavy when it happened, and it's something we've all been living with about the past year.
Yeah, we even did a memoriam episode on TFYLP for him, but this subject touches not just you guys but everybody in the fandom. We've got a topic in our Facebook group on Facebook talking about this, and there's been some great discussion in that topic. We'll mention that topic and reference that topic in that episode when it comes due. We'd love to hear anybody who has any thoughts on this topic. Go into the Facebook group and give us your thoughts on what you think would happen to your collection if you were to pass tomorrow or soon, because it's very real, very serious. I know it's kind of a gloomy thing to cover, but it's something that we all deal with, and you guys on RFC, it touches you very personally because you're doing it right now for a fellow member, and it's really something everybody needs to think about, and I'd like to really talk about it a lot on that show, and it's an open invitation to Brian, and you guys can bring him on there. We're trying to get the Maz who wrote the article, if he could join us for that that episode. We're working on that, and hopefully we can work something out. I know the time difference is kind of an issue because he is in Germany and we're here in the U.S. mainly, and Canada, and it's like Tobias. He can't be on every episode because there's what, like a 9 hour difference, five to nine hour difference. Yeah. I don't know.
And I can't be on every episode because of polar bears, you know.
Yeah. Polar bears.
It happens.
I mean, he is making it a little bit better. Our member Tobias is moving to the UK, so we're going to have some UK news every now and then for you UK listeners. I don't know when that move is, but I think it's actually probably very, very soon, if not right now. We hope Tobias the best. Daniel, did you get that information from TFW, or were you able to locate it?
I'm trying to find it because there was something posted. I think it was today or yesterday. There was a whole list. I'm trying to find it now. It's weird. I don't know if they took it down, but oh no, here it is. Okay, there was a huge list of stuff. It got pushed down because they put the BotCon box art recently. That's why. That's breaking news if you want to know that. Yeah. The box art for the BotCon box set is, but it looks like it's kind of if you ask me, but whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's pushed all the way down. Takara Tomy released a whole bunch of like they're almost like, you know, codes for their cash registers and everything, whatever you want to call them. Just revealing what's going to be planned for the long term, and if you scroll all the way to like September or October, you see some really interesting stuff because there's where is it here? They have, I remember there's some, okay, you have like a repaint of Robots in Disguise Jazz, because Jazz is going to have a Robots in Disguise toy, and there's going to be a repaint of him as Stepper.
Yes.
Ooh, fun. Yeah. Like, well, that's just you kind of have to read it. Like, they did little translations of everything. Q Transformers is going to get a Shockwave toy. There's going to be a Cliff Jumper repaint. We already know this, but confirmed the Menasor is going to get a Japanese release in a box set. And we have prices now for everything, too. So we know how much the Japanese versions are going to cost in the box set. So 1,400 yen, which is approximately, right now the yen is really crap. So it's about 120. So it almost evens out, really. Getting the Japanese version costs more or less the same as if you were getting the American, like buying everything individually. There's mention of Blue Streak and how much he's going to cost and when he's going to ship out. It's more a lot of just pricing and stuff that's planned. But there was another one here. It says here Q Transformers Hound is going to be repainted as Skids. The Q Transformers Sunstreaker, which was the Mazda RX-7, is going to be Drift. There's going to be a two-pack of Strong Arm with a Snarl mold. We don't know what that Snarl mold is yet. There's going to be a two-pack repaint of the Cosmos Legends mold. We don't know what that repaint's going to be yet, but it's going to be released. under his Japanese name, Adams. A lot of people don't realize Cosmos was called Adams in Japan. It's a lot. It's all just like text and text and text and all this stuff that's just for cash register information in Japan. But oh, there was another one here too. We were just mentioning how the blackjack mold, right? How it's going to be used for Rodimus. They're also going to be using it for, get a load of this, Roundabout. So
Roundabout.
And I guess they're going to get some, you know, mileage out of that mold. And then here's an interesting one, and this is a really interesting one. This is people who know the Trigger Cons from G1. Groove from the Legends line is going to be Override.
Nice. For Trigger
Con. That could be –
which was a red and – yeah, so that's an interesting one. Huh. Again, these little things here and there that are so far looks like it's just Japan only for their, like, whatever they're calling. I think it's called Transformers Adventure and their United line. But
so what you're saying is you'll be able to pick them up from our sponsor at Captured Prey.
At Captured Prey. In the near future. Like, again, I'm kind of going out of order here. Like the Override and the Roundabout, it says here August. I mean, these are like very long term. Like, you know, we're August, September, October. And then, like, they even have here unknown date for Devastar, which is Devastator, which is referring to the United Japanese version. So it, right there, it confirms there will be a Japanese version. But it just has no price right now or date. And then Lambor is going to get a reissue. Oh, and then here's a weird one. This is the last weird one. Q Transformers is going to have a Optimus Prime repaint done in the Evangelion colors based off of the Masterpiece Evangelion repaint. So that's a weird one.
Well, if you couldn't afford the first one, now you can get the second
one. Yeah, you can get this one for like $7.99. that's about it, really. There's not much else in terms of breaking news here. A lot of it's like, oh, they're getting Drift. We're getting Drift. You know, the Deployers and Fracture. Yeah.
The Evangelion one. You said that was Q Transformers.
Looks like.
Yeah.
Yep. They say here a Power Glide repaint, but it's probably the Viper.
Might as well just call it Cybertron Burt Boss.
Yeah.
That's true.
Who wasn't? There was one of the Combiner Wars Stunticons. Somebody did a kit bash, a really really good kit bash, and turned it in. I think it was Dead End. They turned into G1 Getaway.
I could see that.
It was actually really, really nice.
Yeah, the Getaway was a FC3S RX-7. Yeah, it could work.
Speaking of Stunicons, quick question, because I'm not looked into it too much. I understand we're supposed to be getting, like, Mirage and Sunstreaker and such down the line, right? Autobot repaints or remolds.
Yeah. Masquerade molds, yeah.
Well, I just realized something with Breakdown, his toy. The
gun can fit on the back?
On the back.
Sunstreaker.
As the little vents. It just slides right in.
And in car mode, the gun fits on the back and it can perfectly form the
car. Like with the thumb and the fingers, you can actually just grip and hold the car. And that's your gun. That's awesome.
Yeah. But anybody else have anything new they want to share or what?
I have a cold.
Oh, nice.
Do I have any TFCon news? Let me think.
Yeah, like exclusives or.
I'm trying to think of what's public and what isn't. I don't think there's anything right now. Let's see. We mentioned we're gonna have Blur, John, whatever. He's gonna be at BotCon also. But what's gonna be special with TFCon Canada is he's gonna be actually helping us with the charity auction. So that's gonna be interesting.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, that's gonna be very interesting. Not much else really right now. I can't really think of anything offhand.
Can you guess any
not even guess? Exclusive stuff, because there's nothing that I can think of right now that.
Isn't there going to be some of the old exclusives still available or for TFCon? Are they still hovering around?
Daniel?
I think he dropped off.
Oh, sorry. You guys were cutting out.
If there was old, the old exclusives like from like Axis and them, aren't there still some of those that might be available?
There's still quite a bit of those kicking around. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's still quite a few of those kicking around, actually. To my knowledge, just the Masterpiece Shafter for sure, the Axis for sure, and the GoBots from the previous year of 2013. I believe both of those in good numbers are still available.
Which may go well with the DX9. I think
what else? I'm just trying to think what else there was. I think that's it, really. Because our other exclusives are still.
I've got Vanguardian, and I just recently picked up Roswell. I love Vanguardian. I'm sorry.
People have to realize, like, it was like we never really mentioned it, but like that year that we did that was actually celebrating the 30th anniversary of GoBots. People don't realize that year we were doing that. And Vanguardian was more so that was kind of my choice. I really, because I loved Vanguard as a kid, and I really just wanted to have anything of that character done today. Anything. And it's just considering the molds that we had at our disposal, it just felt like here's a really good opportunity to do it with the Braun mold. And then on top of that, I really wanted to do a comic, you know, just let's have some modern GoBot fiction. Yeah. And I mean, the guys that worked with us, I'm not allowed to say names really, but the guys who worked with us were some really, you know, big name professionals drawing, you know, Gobotron for the first time in more than 30 years, because Lord knows that hasn't been done in forever.
Yeah.
So it was just really fun, all of that.
And the cool thing is, once we hear more about these Bandai Machine Robos that we haven't heard anything about.
Oh, my God, yeah, that.
Yeah. Can you imagine how the aesthetics will be different, but it would still be nice to see them all on the same shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. That's something I'm gonna be blowing all my money on. I'm a big Machine Robo GoBot fan, and it's just to see that, especially like, because some of those designs in Machine Robo were very true to the toy designs. So I mean, like a lot of people were seeing that, they were going, oh, we're gonna get a Crasher, we're gonna get a Psykill. Not really, because what Hanna-Barbera did with the toys as opposed to what the show models were very friendly departures, a lot more cartoony. But Porsche Robo, which is what Crasher is based off of, will have more of that toy Crasher look. Same thing with Bike Robo in the case of Psykill. I mean, they're not very original names, but same thing. Phytor, which was known as Jet Robo or Blue Jet was his full name in the anime, and he was a more of a noble character and had a very, again, all the GoBots as you know them in the show had very cartoony faces that were big departures from how the actual toys looked. Where Machine Robo, the anime and the manga series and the toy line were a lot more true to that. You know, a good example in the local movie, there was a female character that was from the Jewel Lords. I forget her name.
Solitaire.
Oh my God. It was Solitaire, yeah. But people don't realize that same toy in the Japanese version was a male. You know, and vice versa with some others. You know, the character that played Psykill in Machine Robo was a good guy, noble character who was like the leader of the combiner teams of the power suits. And yet, what we know of Psykill in America, you know, it's just always interesting to see those contrasts. I actually did a panel on this at TFCon many years ago. I think it's still somewhere up on YouTube somewhere, and I talk all about that, like just all the little contrasts and differences between the two. But I'm really looking forward to that. Oh my God, those figures. More money to spend.
That's the Japanese Machine Robo Masterpiece one style,
the smaller Masterpiece is
the I would say they're high end, but they're more like smaller, judging by the amount of joints that there is.
It looks like they're about Bumblebee size. So, just rough visual guess. Masterpiece Bumblebee.
Yeah. Because it looks like there's a lot of parts to it. It's just the scale, being next to other stuff that we're seeing, it kind of looks like they're smaller. But whatever, I don't care. Considering the original GoBot stuff was the 300 series, as it was called, considering how small they were, anything is good at this point.
And I still hope someone third party does an add-on kit that does the energy blasts.
I would not be surprised.
That would be nice.
I would not be surprised.
Not.
Well, that's it.
I believe that will wrap us up for this show. Magnus, do you have anything you want to add for?
Nope.
How about you, Jim?
Just wanted
besides having a cold.
Yeah. Just wanted to make brief mention. There's been word going around regarding the future of the Creo brand where the United States is concerned. And things aren't looking good. I've been hearing people say that a lot of the newer figures, like the Battle Changers and some of the newer sets, have been showing up in Canadian retail and over in Asia. But here in the States, we've not seen anything past Age of Extinction. Not even the new Robots in Disguise stuff.
Interesting.
So I have yet to find out any thorough details or anything solid on that, but just know that apparently things aren't looking very good. So in some of the Creo groups, we've been discussing possibly if they were to maybe try to maybe reinvent the Creo brand in some capacity, maybe incorporate some other Hasbro lines, such as like My Little Pony, which was popular. Change focus of their demographic. They got Gem and the Holograms coming back here soon. There's all kinds of options for them to explore, but ultimately it's going to boil down to people getting out there and buying the toys.
So even the RID Creo stuff you guys didn't get?
Not yet. Not that I've seen.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know of any stateside sightings of those.
I haven't seen Creos in months. The Toys R Us around here was the last place that actually carried them, and now they've all but gotten rid of all Creos.
Yeah, pretty much for the tail end there, about the past year, everything has been Toys R Us exclusive as far as Creo goes. Dungeons & Dragons, Age of Extinction, and all that.
Fascinating.
So, yeah.
Don, you got anything to wrap up?
Not really.
Hopefully this time next week I'll have time to put Fierce Attack with the rest of the Warbitrons and show off a live look at Warbitron Bruticus, although I've still got Quantron over there from 3 months ago, and I haven't had a chance to put him together yet, so I'll try. It just depends on factors.
I had a thought, and it just totally went away. Astral train of thought just went away.
It just went into a shuttle and just took off.
Roto Man, you got any closing words?
I finally got my original Twitter back. Well,
yay.
That's all I could say. I was Proto Man X for 6 years, fought with Twitter for years to get Proto Man, finally got it. Yay, thanks to Joshua Perez. He helped out with that, actually. So,
Why couldn't you get that as a name? What was wrong with the name?
Oh, God. Let's put it this way. It's the typical case of someone registered the name and just sat on it and did absolutely nothing with it.
Just to
register it. And, because what people who are listeners might not realize, Proto Man isn't an original name. It's a character from Mega Man.
Yeah.
And so someone registered that name 6 years ago when Twitter first started and has been, and literally did nothing with the account. And I've been fighting with Twitter for 6 years saying, hey, this guy is doing nothing with it at all. Absolutely nothing. And we had the fight back and forth and Twitter's like, well, he walks in once in a while. And luckily I contacted this guy who actually had the account. And I said, look, I really want it. You know, I want to make business cards and put my name on it and stuff, you know. And he's like, well, if you give me money, you'll get it. You know, and I was like, no, that's not happening, right? And then I kind of ignored it and let that go away. And, you know, and then I don't know, I guess he was like stalking my account or something. And he noticed that, you know, I'm buddy buddy with a lot of the IDW guys. And he's like, I'll make a deal with you. And they're like, you know, this is public. You could see it on Twitter, this discussion, because that's the only way I was talking to him. He's like, if you could get me some original art done, I'll give you the account. And Mr. Perez stepped up to the plate and sacrificed his time for free. Awesome guy. Wow. To make some original art for that butthole so I could get my account back. So, again, Josh, you're freaking awesome. But you probably already know that. Everyone knows that. So that's really cool. And now I have at Proto Man. Damn right.
Follow at 60 years. Proto Man.
It's kind of sad. It's a silly thing to celebrate, but it's just something important. Something important to me. It's just because, you know, Proto Man X always irked me.
It's the small things.
Yeah.
And speaking of Twitter, you can follow us, this show, at TFYLP. Yes. Follow us at TFYLP on Twitter. I want to congratulate our listener Crimson at Crimson Raptors for winning tonight's giveaway of a KT Kabaya kit combiner leader, and like I said, I've got his information now, and I will send that out to you sometime very soon. Just another cool thing and cool perk for listening to TFYLP. But remember, I have two more to give away. They may not be given away on Twitter. I may give them away. We may give them away some other way. So keep listening to the show. We'll let you know whenever the time comes. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and we will see you next time on TFYLP. Go on Twitter and go on our Facebook group and tell us about your thoughts on the what happens to your collection if you after you die, if you were to die soon, what you plan on, what you would like to have happen to your collection. We'd love to hear from you. We'll talk about it on the show very soon whenever we do that topic. So for Megamus, Jim, Don, and Daniel, and everybody else that's not on tonight, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure.
Later, bye.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.